You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
Hello and welcome to CNBC TV 18. I'm Archana Shukla and you're tuned in to the first episode of our latest offering, the COVID Fight podcast. While India is still reeling under mounting cases of COVID-19, a deadly fungal infection called mucormycosis, or commonly called as black fungus, has triggered a new health challenge in the country. More than 11,000 cases of black fungus infection have been reported from different parts of the country, forcing state governments to declare it an epidemic. Now, this rare fungal infection emerged during the second wave of COVID-19 and has been widely linked with one, an indiscriminate use of steroids, and secondly, uncontrolled diabetes in COVID-positive patients. But to understand various other angles of this disease, we have with us Dr. Mandar Kubal, specialist in infectious diseases and founder director of Infectious Disease and Pulmonary Care Private Limited. Dr. Kubal, first of all, thank you so much for sparing time for CNBC TV 18. Help us understand, this seems like a rare fungal infection, not so common, or was it that common in pre-COVID era as well? How has it come about becoming an epidemic during the second wave of COVID-19?
Thanks for having me, Archana. As a matter of fact, mucormycosis has been there prevalent in India for quite some time, even in the pre-pandemic era. As far as 2014, we have got good case series coming out of India from Chandigarh, from Gujarat, from Maharashtra, from the south. This has been a problem of predominantly the diabetic population, the uncontrolled diabetic population, people with cancer, people undergoing transplants, people having HIV/AIDS, and some cases of trauma and burns. So this has been there in India for quite some time, and we've been treating mucormycosis for quite some time now. What has changed in the pandemic era, and I would divide it into the first wave and the second wave, is that we had mucormycosis also, even in the first wave, and even of post first wave, we had patients coming up in small pockets of Delhi, pockets of Gujarat, pockets of Maharashtra. The second wave changed the dynamics in the sense the total sheer number of patients in the second wave and the ferocity of the second wave was unbelievable. So the percentage of mucormycosis, the total number, the population was also more. So now you are seeing a very high number of mucormycosis cases coming up. Secondly, there has the severity of the second wave in some cases have been more. The number of severe patients reaching a hospital are more, and that is where the use of steroids, the use of mAbs like tocilizumab, bevacizumab, the use of kinase inhibitors like baricitinib, tofacitinib, these all have increased. So this has caused an added immunosuppression in the patient population. The worst combination is if such a patient is already a diabetic or an uncontrolled diabetic. These all factors have actually promoted the growth of not just mucor, but other fungal issues also, like candida, especially candida auris, aspergillosis. These all fungal infections have come up in a huge way in the second wave. The other component is that we are more well aware in the second wave as to what happens during a COVID or a post-COVID treatment. So from our experiences in the first wave, where we have seen mucormycosis coming up post-discharge, we have been fairly vigilant in the second wave that we have started screening patients even before admissions, that whether they are showing any signs of fungal infections. And we have become hyper-vigilant post-discharge, whether in the follow-up phase they show up something of fungal infections. So that's why we are picking up mucor also more this time. That would generally explain all the logical known reasons for mucor cases being high. In addition to the speculated reasons which are still under research and which will still require validation as to whether it is a direct effect of a mutant virus, whether it is the mutant virus suppressing immunity much more than before, or whether it is related to oxygen usage. So those are points which are under investigations and which are speculative. Other than those, the points which I said, those contribute to the rise in mucor cases as we are seeing it today.
Okay, a whole host of reasons and why we are seeing large number of cases in the second wave. One being that we are actively looking for those set of cases, and hence we are getting more cases. But sir, as a doctor who's been dealing with fungal infections in immunosuppressant patients, how different is it this time? In terms of prognosis of mucormycosis and black fungus cases, when are we seeing these? Because there are certain instances where we are seeing mucormycosis cases come up 6 weeks, 8 weeks after discharge of a COVID positive patient. So how do, a general lay person, someone who's been infected with COVID positive or has diabetes and is COVID positive, understand the risks and when to look out for symptoms, etc.?
The most common manifestation of mucormycosis per se in India is rhinoorbital cerebral mucormycosis. In lay terms, it is the infection of your paranasal sinuses, which might progress to involve the eyes and the orbits, and in very severe cases, involve the brains. So that is the most common presentation which we are seeing, followed by primarily lung infection, that is called pulmonary mucormycosis, and very rarely gastrointestinal or cutaneous or renal mucormycosis. So for all practical purposes, what we are seeing is the sinus infection, which is spreading into the eyes, the facial bones, and then in very rare cases, if untreated, into the brains and might turn to be fatal. So this is the manifestation generally which people would like to concentrate on. And as you rightly said, the presentation has been varied. Some people are picking up mucor and treating mucor even before a COVID patient is discharged. So they are aggressively looking for it. They're investigating such patients. And if mucor is proved on biopsy, they are treating it even before discharge. In most of majority of the patients, COVID patients who get treated for COVID and then are discharged home, there are certain subtle signs which they can look for, and then they can present themselves to their physicians or their ENT physicians or their ophthalmologist for ruling out any issues. I won't say that these signs 100% mean that you have got mucormycosis and you should panic. But then yes, some signs should actually prompt you to seek medical attention and get things sorted out. So simple things like a recurrence of fever, a stuffiness of the nose, a blocked partial nose or one side of the nose, any pain or swelling around your orbit, any issues with your vision, decreased vision or double vision, any persistent headache which tends to not go away. So these are all the signs of your orbital and sinus mucormycosis. Basically, it is your paranasal sinuses and your cheeks which get affected first, and then it spreads across. So any area of, say, decreased sensation or altered sensation somewhere around your cheeks, again, is it's a very early pointer. Not just of mucormycosis, but there's something going on in the sinuses. Please see your doctor and get it sorted out. It can turn out to be just simple sinusitis also to start with. But then in some cases, we might miss out an early mucor by just ignoring a sinus infection. So the best part is look at these pointers, see your doctor and just get it sorted, whether it is something very benign or it is something as serious as mucor or any other fungal infection.
Doctor, just from a very layperson perspective, okay, you said that you should not rule out a sinus infection. You must investigate, check with your doctor. How does it work? Is it even people with milder cases or moderate cases who could progress into a mucormycosis, and these cases are seen in all category of patients, or is it only the severely ill COVID positive patients who have been on very heavy dose of steroids and other antibiotics and the monoclonal antibodies that you spoke about, only they are predisposed? Who of the entire gamut of COVID positive patients is predisposed to mucormycosis? Just for very lay audience.
The patients who have traditionally been seen to have a problem of mucormycosis, COVID or non-COVID, firstly, if you are a diabetic, if being a diabetic, your sugars have been uncontrolled, that is the population which is the high-risk population. Now, what we are seeing in the COVID part is if you have a patient who is diabetic, who has got moderate to severe disease, who has received some amount of high-dose steroids or other immunosuppressants like kinase inhibitors or tocilizumab, these are the individuals whom you have to be very wary about. You have to screen them for mucor or other fungi, and they themselves have to be made aware of these signs and symptoms. So generally, not as a rule, but what we are seeing, and this is just anecdotal evidence because we do not have a national registry of mucor yet. State level registries have come up in different states. So when we get the registry data and we analyze what were the features in retrospect of such a patient, we'll be able to predict better. But from what we have learned from mucor in the pre-pandemic era and in the first wave, patients who have been on immunosuppressants, steroids or otherwise, patients who are diabetic, uncontrolled diabetes, or some who have landed up with something called as diabetic ketoacidosis. These are the groups which you have to be very aware of, which the patients have to be made aware of that there is a problem of fungal infections and they have to keep a watch on it. So this would be the small group which I will aggressively investigate. This does not mean that if someone is not a diabetic or someone who has not received, say, steroids with MABs, he should be not screened or it is unlikely that he'll get mucormycosis or any other fungal infection. As I said, we still don't know what is driving the mucor. There are still a lot of unknown factors in addition to the known factors. So we don't know what is driving this surge in mucor cases parallelly with the second waves. So my advice would be, everyone who has got COVID, who has got treated, who has got recovered and has been on some sort of immunosuppression has to be aware that there is this problem which is coming up in the late treatment or the post-discharge time frame. They have to be made aware as to once you're COVID treated, that is not the end of the story. You have to be aware of there are complications of long COVID and there are complications of COVID treatment which you have to be aware of.
Okay. Doctor, I have a lot of questions and very little time. I'll try to go over all of that for the benefit of our listeners. So the drug that is being used to treat mucormycosis, liposomal amphotericin B, is in very short supply. While the government is attempting to bring more supplies in place and is sanctioning supplies state-wise, we still are seeing instances where patient families are running to procure that drug and are failing in their efforts. As a doctor who's treating this fungal infection at a time when drugs are in short supply, how are you managing, and are there other drugs that can be used for a treatment of this disease?
Liposomal amphotericin B is the gold standard for treatment of mucormycosis internationally and nationally. In addition to liposomal amphotericin B, liposomal amphotericin B is a special amphotericin B. We have conventional amphotericin B, we have lipid formulation amphotericin B. So basically, the active drug is amphotericin B. The three different formulations give us a ability to give higher doses and less toxicity. In that sense, liposomal amphotericin B, we can give at higher doses to the patient to decrease the duration of therapy. And we also do not expect much renal toxicity to come up as compared to conventional amphotericin B. So given a choice, given an ideal scenario with no shortages, liposomal amphotericin B is the best. In times of this epidemic where everything is short supply and patient requirements are high, and if you are not able to source liposomal amphotericin B, obviously the government has set up a mechanism by which you can reach out and get amphotericin B from the state governments or from the central governments. But that apart, if you are not able to do that, yes, you can look at other formulations of amphotericin B, like conventional amphotericin B. The doses are different. The duration is different. You have to be very vigilant about toxicity because these are toxic formulations. If you are absolutely unable to source amphotericin B, there is posaconazole, there is isavuconazole, which we use for treatment of mucormycosis, which is available in India. There are multiple generics of posaconazole available, and isavuconazole is available from the innovator as Cresemba. So there are options. All of these options are unfortunately not very easily available. Everything is in short supply, but there are mechanisms in place wherein everyone can access either of these drugs. So your doctor has to just be aware as to what is the mechanism of accessing, say, amphotericin B. If not amphotericin B, who's the authority to coordinate with for accessing posaconazole? So things can be managed. They're not that easy, but yes, definitely they can be managed.
Right. Sir, I'll just go over a few reports that we keep seeing. We're also seeing reports where some experts are saying that use of industrial oxygen and maybe a use of dirty water in ventilators is one of the reasons why we are seeing a sharp rise in cases of mucormycosis. Karnataka task force, COVID task force, has actually set up a separate committee to look into this aspect of why cases have gone up and whether industrial oxygen. As a doctor, do you think there is merit in this argument?
As I started this conversation with, there are a lot of factors which are unknowns, which are driving this surge in mucor cases. Yes, the industrial oxygen is something new, which we have used for the first time in the second wave for managing patients. That might look up as a possibility, but I would refrain from making a comment on something which is yet unknown, yet under investigations. It is good to see that a committee has been set up to investigate whether industrial oxygen is a cause of mucormycosis, and I'm sure their findings will make her more wiser in the future. But then, yes, I would refrain from making blanket statements or speculations on factors which I have personally no understanding about or I'm not aware about.
Okay. How about use of zinc? You spoke about use of antibiotics in your earlier answer, but how about zinc? There are reports that, over usage of zinc could also be one of the reasons. Do you think there is any merit here?
See, this hypothesis derives slightly from the fact that iron is a very good source. Iron is a friend of mucormycosis. The more the amount of free iron in the body or iron overload states, we have seen that mucor grows more luxuriously in such patients. Now, looking at that, people have looked at all that has been given to the patients as a combination for COVID, and they see that zinc has been always there in treatment for its immunomodulatory properties. So people are looking at zinc from that point of view. Iron is an established fact that, okay, if you have a lot of free iron in your body or if you have iron overloaded states, you are at risk of developing fungal infections, especially mucormycosis. Taking that background, people are investigating zinc's role, but these are all, again, as I said, anecdotal evidence which is yet to be validated.
Okay. Sir, apart from black fungus, we've now had reports of white fungus. There has also been one case of yellow fungus being reported. Are we at a situation where COVID-19 infections would lead to multiple other fungal infections? And how worried should we be about white fungus and yellow fungus?
Actually, I am not at all comfortable with this color coding of funguses in black, white, and yellow, because technically we do not know which these funguses are. Especially with the black fungus, I know it's mucormycosis. I actually do not know what these physicians who go on air or in the media with yellow and white funguses, which technical fungus are they exactly talking about. But that apart, yes, in the COVID wave, what has happened is that with COVID, we have used a lot of immunosuppressants. Steroids have been used well as abused everywhere. There has been usage of MABs in the first wave, in the second wave. The shortage of MABs in the second wave has actually promoted the irrational use of other drugs like kinase inhibitors and plasma and things which are additively very immunosuppressive. So what we are seeing is that there is a surge in fungal infections per se. We have concentrated more about mucor because that has captured the headlines. But people who are treating in critical care units will tell you that for every mucor, we have an X number of candida, which is causing problem. We have outbreaks of candida auris, which is like a labeled super fungus, which is causing problems. We have aspergillus, which is causing problems. So yes, mucor is a problem. Mucor is an issue because one, it's the treatment is kind of difficult. The treatment is disfiguring and the treatment is short in supply. So it kind of captures the headlines. But this, yes, there are more fungal infections in the background which are happening, which are getting treated and which unfortunately we are losing some patients to also. In addition, because of all the immunosuppression, we have got a huge pandemic of antimicrobial resistant bugs which are doing the rounds. We have got gram-negative organisms which are multi-drug resistant and polydrug resistant, which are causing similar mortality and morbidity in COVID patients and in post-COVID states, just like mucormycosis. But yes, as the use of immunosuppression kind of increases, all these factors will we have to be aware of. The physicians will have to have a strict surveillance on the same. And even in the post-discharge states, we'll have to keep a watch and educate our patients to have certain things which has to be watched for. So that is what we'll have to look at actually.
Okay, so essentially it all drives down to indiscriminate use antibiotics, of drugs, that is leading to rise in cases, and a proper screening and discussion with the doctor in terms of what and how will help us tide over this crisis as well. Dr. Kumal, just before I let you go, there is a sense of fear, around, one, with the COVID second wave, which where we saw lakhs of people being infected. At the same time, a disease that no one had heard of so much. So there is a sense of fear. As a doctor, do you think the fear is justified, or there is some word of solace that you could offer to our listeners?
The fear of mucormycosis is 100% justified. I won't say it is a hype, because it is a difficult disease to treat. It is a disfiguring disease to treat. And unfortunately, the mortality with mucormycosis in severe cases is pretty high. So I won't say that it is hysteria or it is something which is just blown out of proportions. It is a difficult disease and it is a dangerous disease. So I would say that it is a problem. It is a big problem in the near future. It is better if our physicians are aware. It is better if our physicians pick up things faster. It is better if our patients are made aware, their caregivers are made aware, and they are given the right information of picking up things faster, so that they seek healthcare, they get their doubts cleared, they get their issues sorted out, whether it is fungus or non-fungus, and whether it is mucor or non-mucor, and then things are treated at an early phase. So I would not blame people for being afraid. Yes, if you are just afraid and you do not seek healthcare, that is a problem. But at the first sign of doubt, I would suggest, do not hesitate to see your doctor, get it clarified from your doctor. Do not try to treat yourself at home, because you never know which sinusitis is a simple sinusitis and which sinusitis might turn out to be mucor. So best is suspect early, diagnose early, and treat early.
Absolutely. Suspect early, diagnose early, and treat early. And there are medicines and drugs available for treatment of mucormycosis, maybe in little short supply, but doctors across the country are working day in and day out, trying to save each and every patient from this new rare fungal disease, which could turn fatal. But don't worry, people are around, doctors are around, and it will be taken under control as well. Like Dr. Kumal pointed out, stay vigilant. Well, Dr. Kumal, thank you so much for sparing time here on the CNBC TV 18 podcast. And to all our listeners, keep tuning in. We'll be back with many more such informative discussions on the COVID Fight podcast.